1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. Have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read to hear the good news that Paul is sharing with us here in these nine verses. He says this starting in verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Father, once again, your scripture is just so full of just truth and just wonderful things that we need to learn. And Father, maybe today there might be some people in here who have never dove into this portion of scripture and understand it. So Father, I'm just asking that a lot of eyes and hearts and minds be open today to the truths that you want to reveal through these verses here in scripture. So Father, do that this morning. Unveil those to us. Open our eyes. Let us learn a little bit more about these things that we call end times. We give you the glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We continue this journey through the New Testament. And today, we're going to stop and spend some time here at 1 Corinthians 15. And I have titled today's message, The First Resurrection. 3 weeks ago, on July the 14th, I preached a sermon from 2 Thessalonians about a person called the man of lawlessness. And in that sermon, I spoke about an area of theology called eschatology. What is eschatology? Eschatology is a branch of theology, and theology is the study of the Word of God, concerned with the final events in the history of the world or of humankind. And today, we're going to go back and look into this area of theology called eschatology by looking at an event that the Bible calls the first resurrection and how that will apply to us. Now, first, a disclaimer. There are many, many, many eschatological beliefs floating around out there in the world today. And each one contains some areas of truth. And I do not claim to know everything that is true concerning these things called end times. But I do claim that I do have an eschatological belief system that I believe is more biblically correct than some of the other ones that I have studied. So with that said, I'm going to be presenting this topic this morning called the First Resurrection with what I believe the Bible teaches, and I believe it is pretty straightforward what we will cover here this morning. Quite often, and I've already said it once today, quite often you hear me say, we are one day closer, what? To glory. We're one day closer to glory. Do you ever wonder what I mean when I say that, that we're one day closer to glory? I mean this, that there is a great promise for the believer that is written in the book of Romans, chapter 8 in verses 29 through 30. Now, either you can look in your Bibles or you can just look on the front of your bulletin, because I have it written right there on the front of your bulletin. And it says this: "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." These two verses give the progression of the believer. The believer is predestined. They are the elect. And I'm going to use that word a lot today, elect. They are called. How are they called? They hear the gospel message. That's how we are all called. Number three, they are justified. What is that? That is the moment that we are saved, the moment of our salvation, the moment we are made right before God. But there's a fourth step. There's a fourth step there. It says they are glorified. And you notice the tense in which he wrote this. Those whom he predestined, he called, and who called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Past tense. It's a done deal. Today, we're going to focus strictly on, not those other steps, number four, glorification. What does it mean for the Christian to be glorified? So we're going to talk about today. If you are a Christian, then your predestination is complete. You are the elect, so give glory to God. Your calling is complete. You heard the gospel message from somebody or maybe a group of people. So give God the glory that you live in a place and a time where you heard the gospel. Your justification is complete. You are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So give glory to God. But your glorification is not yet complete. I know that because you're all sitting here. But it will be. It will be. So we need to give glory to God for that also. How do I know that? How do I know that? And these were the steps from Romans 8:30. Believers are predestined, they're called, they're justified, and they're glorified. So let's talk about this thing called glorification. How am I going to be glorified? How is the Christian going to be glorified? We have a whole lot of fill in the blanks, but we're going to go through these rather quickly in our bulletin here this morning. Let's look at the first one. The glorification of the human body for the Christian will occur at the return of Jesus Christ at his second coming. Okay? It will occur at the return of Jesus Christ. How do I know that? I know that because I'm going to get into our second fill in the blank. And our second fill in the blank says this. Okay, it will occur at the return of Jesus at his second coming. And it will refer to this. The Bible refers to the return of Jesus Christ as initiated by the sound of a trumpet. We all know this. Jesus was born. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven. And we know this, that he is what else? He's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. He will return. And it says this, that he will return at the sound of a trumpet. There are three different Bible verses in the New Testament that attest to this. The first one is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 through 31. And earlier in that chapter, in Matthew chapter 24, actually in verse 3, the disciples asked Jesus, "What will be the sign at the end of the age?" So Jesus answers their question, and he responds by these two verses here. And he says this: "Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." That is our first verse that tells us that the return of Jesus will be announced with a trumpet call. Let's go to our second one from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It says there, from the epistle to the Thessalonians, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet, there it is again, of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and there's more to that after that. But the only thing I want to point out, at least for now, is this. When Jesus returns, there will be a trumpet call. And then back to our verse at 1 Corinthians 15:52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. So the Apostle Paul says it twice, first in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in 1 Corinthians 15. He repeats what Jesus has already proclaimed. There will be a sound of a trumpet. We have consistency. Scripture interprets Scripture. A sound of a trumpet will accompany the return of Jesus Christ at his second coming. But we do know this. There will be a trumpet call. Don't ask me what it's going to sound like. I don't know. Probably sound like a what? A trumpet. Probably sound like a trumpet. So we know that a trumpet is going to sound. But let's dig a little bit further. What else happens at the return of Jesus Christ? Because we know he is coming back. This is where, listen now, this is where glorification takes place in the life of a believer, of a Christian. Let's look at these same three verses and a few more that we're going to look at from 1 Corinthians 15. And let's try to put these pieces together and find out what happens when Jesus returns. First thing I need to say, if you have been justified, if you have been saved, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, then you will be glorified. That is what Paul states in Romans chapter 8, verse 30. You've been predestined, you've been called, you've been justified, and you are glorified. He writes it as past tense, as if it has already happened. It is the promise of God. It says this, those who predestined, there you go, that's Romans 8, verse 30. And I also put this one up here, Philippians 1, 6, because this has a lot to do with it. Philippians 1, 6 says this, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will see it through unto completion. God's not going to start a work in me or start a work in you and not see it all the way through. If he's going to call you, he's going to justify you. If he's going to justify you, he will glorify me and you. That's his promise. We need to stand on that promise. So, what is glorification? If I'm going to be glorified, and if you're going to be glorified, what does that mean? And I have the definition to that on the inside of your bulletin, on the inside cover in the top right-hand corner, because that's where I put all my definitions. Glorification is the theological term used to describe the final removal of sin from the lives of Christians at the end of time. Okay? We know a lot of different things are going to happen, but the ultimate goal of a Christian is going to be this. We will eventually, when we get to that point, be sinless. I'll be honest with you. For me, that's hard to comprehend because all I know is a sinful human condition that I got. But we're going to be sinless. That is the goal. We are going to be made like Christ, and Christ was sinless. We too will be sinless. And if that isn't incredible enough, that we're going to be sinless at that point in time, there's going to be more. So I tried to put these in what I considered a logical order by looking at some of the other scriptures. So this is about the best attempt that I could make at it. Our next fill in the blank from Matthew 24, 31. It says the elect will be gathered together. The believers, all those who are saved by the blood of Jesus, says that the elect will be gathered together. And here we go. I'll just start right here. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Somehow, we're all going to be gathered together. Don't ask me again what that looks like, because I really don't know. But I do know this. We are going to be gathered together. So that is a promise. Let's go to our next fill in the blank. I said we would go through these quickly. It says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. The elect will meet the Lord in the air, it says. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, And with the sound of the trumpet, there you go again with that trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air, so that we will always be with the Lord. The dead, it says this, the dead in Christ will rise first. What does that mean? Well, that means all those who have gone before us, who are dead, who are in the graves, they will be gathered up first to meet Christ in the air. And you might say, well, gee, their bodies are, they've turned to dust. That's right. Trust me, I believe in a God who can put us back together again. Okay? He can put us back together again. We'll get to that here in a second. But it says this according to this verse. Those who are dead first will rise to meet the Lord in the air. And then, let's say for instance, Jesus comes back right now. We hear the trumpet. We who are alive will be caught up in the air and meet the Lord in the air with him. So those who are alive, who are Christians on the face of the earth at the time of the return of Jesus Christ, will never experience physical death. You may have heard the term rapture being used. That will be the rapture of the church at that time at the return of Jesus Christ. This is the rapture of the elect. The dead will be caught up, then those who are alive will be caught up. Now, we've got some more. So we know this. The angels will gather us together. We're going to meet, all the elect will meet the Lord in the air. What else? It says this, according to 1 Corinthians 15, the elect will be changed and given an imperishable body. And all this occurs in the twinkling of an eye. That's what the scripture's telling us. It says this, behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body put on immortality. When we meet the Lord in the air, we are not going to have these bodies. We will have a body that's immortal. We will have a body that's imperishable. The dead will be changed. We will be changed. So we are not going to, I'm not going to be like this, or maybe it will be. I don't know, but I know this. It will be a body that's imperishable. It will be a body that is immortal. It will be changed, and it's going to happen just like that. That's why it's kind of hard for me to put these things in a chronological order, because if all things happen in the twinkling of an eye, that's pretty quick. So we know this. We're going to be gathered by the angels. We are going to meet the Lord in the air. We will be changed, and all this is going to occur in the twinkling of an eye. Let's go to our next fill in the blank. Everything that occurs to the Christian at the return of Jesus Christ is called the first resurrection. Everything that we're talking about here is the first resurrection. The dead in Christ are resurrected. Those who are alive in Christ at that time will be resurrected. That is the first resurrection. So what happens at the first resurrection? Jesus returns at the sound of a trumpet. The angels gather the elect. The elect dead in Christ will rise first, those who are already gone before us. And then all the elect who are still alive will meet the Lord in the air. We're all going to meet the Lord in the air. And our bodies are going to be changed to one that is imperishable. We just have one more fill in the blank that I want to cover here first, because this is an interesting verse, and it comes from Philippians chapter 3. As Christians, sometimes our lives get so busy. Our lives sometimes get so difficult. We have pain, we have suffering, we have situations, we have things going on. How often do we ever think about the fact that truly, for Christians, our citizenship is in heaven? But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. I believe it's in 1 Peter chapter 1 that, hey, we're just aliens passing through this world that we got here. We're just passing through. This is just a temporary home. Even though sometimes it's a pretty nice place. Even though sometimes it's a pretty terrible place. And it can be either. We have joy, we have pain, we have suffering, we have good things happen. We need to realize this. As a Christian, this is just a vapor. Our citizenship is going to be in heaven. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, then you are one of the elect, and I assure you that we are just passing through. What we know here, this is not our permanent home. Our glorification is yet to come. So, today we covered real quickly and real briefly this thing called the first resurrection. All believers are going to be part of this thing called the first resurrection. Now, I know we covered a whole lot this morning. I think we had 9 fill-in-the-blanks, something like that. But I also know this. I also know we didn't cover everything that could be covered about this topic. Only kind of what we can get from the scriptures. Today, we did cover the first resurrection and some of the things that will happen in that event. I know that you might have a lot of unanswered questions. Let me give you what some of those unanswered questions might be. Well, Mike, what happens to the unbelievers at that time? What happens during this thing, a period of time called the millennium? What happens in this period of time that I read about called the tribulation, or even the great tribulation that I read about in Revelation? And Mike, can you tell us more about this thing called the glorified body, this imperishable body? And how does all this fit in with the book of Revelation? And will I know, here's a question a lot of people ask, will I know other people once my body is in a glorified state? And what happens between the time of physical death and the time that Jesus comes back? These are all excellent questions, aren't they? And I bet you might have been asking some of them, I don't know about this. Well, it's not going to happen today, folks. We only have so much time, and I only have so much expertise in eschatology. But I promise, sometime next year, let's do a sermon series on all this. It might take longer than the Ten Commandments, which was 34 weeks. But there's a lot to cover what happens in end times. I'll be honest with you, like I said earlier, there's a lot of different views. Each one contains some truth and can all be proven through Scripture. What I will do at that point in time, I will take what I believe is the best of the best, put it all together, come up with what I think is going to happen. But even I could be wrong when it comes to eschatology, because it hasn't happened yet. We don't know. He gives us a lot of clues. He tells us a lot of things. But we do know this. We can be certain that there will be a first resurrection. And we, believers, are going to be part of that first resurrection. And it will happen, I assure you, at the return of Jesus Christ. And there will be a trumpet call, and all the elect will be gathered. We'll meet Jesus in the air, and we'll all have glorified bodies. And I'll be honest with you, that's good enough for me. It's good enough for me. Because my citizenship is going to be in heaven. And we're done. We're done from this place here. That, my friends, is good news. And as Romans 8, chapter 30 says, Romans 8, verse 30, if he justified us, he will glorify us. It's a promise. Isn't that a great promise? Praise the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer.